Will the congregation please stand? Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
A warm welcome to you all and to those who are joining us on the live stream. It's good to see so many of you here in the sanctuary this evening as we come together for this united service of lessons and carols. This evening, it is a great joy to have with us the Right Reverend Dr. Shaw Patterson, Minister of Trinity Church in Strathaven and Moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Shaw, we have known each other since, well, we were a lot younger and a lot thinner than we are now. It is a personal privilege for me to welcome you and Christine to St Ninian's Old Parish Church. Your year as moderator is a busy and demanding one. And yet you discharge your duties with the same good grace and humour with which you chaired the proceedings of the General Assembly in May. And as we know, that lot can be a difficult bunch. We greatly appreciate you being here with us this evening. Advent is the name given to the four-week period leading up to Christmas. The word comes from the Latin meaning coming or arrival. It is the time when the church and individuals prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth. It is a time for reflection, a time for anticipation, a time for worship, a time for singing well-loved carols and hearing again the familiar stories that are ever old and ever new. And so, let us worship God. We sing the hymn 301, 301, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Let us pray together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, we bring our alleluias to you. In this time when we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we come to you as we are. And therefore we pray, Holy Spirit, help us to throw off our distractions and allow the chaos in our lives to settle. Help us to watch for the signs and listen to the messengers. And let us stand on tiptoe and shout aloud and sing aloud. Something new is emerging. Something new is being birthed. We sing praises to you, O God, on high, for glorious are your works. We sing praises to the ends of the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O people of God, for great is the Holy One in our midst, and blessed is the one who comes to dwell among us. We come to worship you, Christ Jesus, who proclaims good news to the poor, binds up the brokenhearted, frees the prisoner, and comforts those who mourn. We come to worship you, who bestows a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Therefore we come to worship you, O Christ, who rebuilds ancient ruins and restores broken places. God with us, Emmanuel. Bless us with your presence. And now, as we are gathered, accept our collective prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's easy to mishear lyrics of a Christmas carol. One child who sang especially loud added his own version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He joyfully sang God and Sinners Dressed in Style. The first lesson this evening will be read by Linda Miller, who is an elder and joint session clerk of Holyrood Viewfield.
So the first lesson is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, and I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Meridian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
We sing Once in Royal, David's City, hymn 315. The second lesson we read by Peter Murdoch, elder, and session clerk at Park Church.
Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1 and beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Hymn 309, "Still the Night, Holy the Night."
Oh,
The third lesson will be read by Christine Pollock, an elder and Sunday club leader here at St. Ninian's Old.
Our third reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, from verse 1 to 7. In those days, a decree was issued by the Emperor Augustus for a census to be taken throughout the Roman world. This was the first registration of its kind. It took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone made his way to his own town to be registered. Joseph went up to Judea from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to register in the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was the son of the house of David by descent. And with him went Mary, his betrothed, who was expecting her child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her baby, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Amen.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie.
Oh.
Karl Barth was a great theologian, and one evening in front of a large audience, he was asked the question, of all the insights that you've ever gained into Christianity and the faith, what is the greatest? And he paused and he thought, and then with a smile he said, the greatest is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That answer made the audience think. It wasn't quite what they expected, but surely it's something for us to think about as well. And isn't love what lies at the heart of our Christmas celebration? Our next lesson will be read by Michael Lane, elder and treasurer of the Allen Church in Bannockburn, where I am privileged to be interim moderator.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
The last time the moderator and I were together was at the Highland Show in June. Shaw was obviously there in his capacity as moderator, and I was there as chaplain. And after our lunch, I suggested to Shaw and Christine that I might take them to visit some farmers and some shepherds. And what a fine time we had. I'll leave it there, moderator. It was just that reading prompted it in my mind. Hymn 313, "See in yonder manger low."
Oh,
The fifth lesson will be read by Janice Ogilvie. Janice is a member of the choir in Logie Kirk, where Atty is interim moderator, and I was interim moderator many years ago now. Janice.
The fifth lesson is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Visitors from the east, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this was what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Amen.
We are delighted to have as our soloist this evening Emma Cuthbert. And Emma will be accompanied by my very talented colleague, the Reverend Atty Van Wyk, on the organ. Emma.
Let us pray. God, our Maker, in this holy Christmas season of prayer and song and laughter, we praise you for the great wonders you have sent us, for a shining star and angel song, and for infant's cry in a lowly manger. We thank you that in Jesus your light and life and love shone in the darkness of the night in Bethlehem, and shine still in our lives and in our world. May that light bring healing to the nations, to all peoples, to the whole of creation. And let us do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you, our God. And hear us, O God, who came to us in the darkness of the Bethlehem night, the light of your love for this world shining brightly, as you bring to you this world's needs, hopes, and fears. Jesus Christ, born in a stable, be with the poor and homeless this Christmas time. As we pray, live, and give, shine your everlasting light. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, be with young mothers across the world in this Christmas season. Jesus Christ, visited by shepherds, be with all who have to work this Christmas, and be with those who long to work and cannot. Jesus Christ, who became a refugee, be with those who fear for their lives and with those who have left homes and families. As we pray, live, and give, shine your everlasting light in our midst. For we behold his glory, and we pray that this Christmas we will once again know peace and receive hope and rejoice in the knowledge of your presence with us, among us, God for us. In his name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
A couple were out Christmas shopping. The shopping centre was packed, and as the wife walked around, she was surprised to discover that her husband was nowhere to be seen. She was quite upset because they had a lot to do, so she decided to phone him on her mobile just to ask where he was. In a quiet voice, he answered, "Do you remember the jewellers we went into 5 years ago when you fell in love with that diamond necklace, and we couldn't afford to buy it, but I said to you, I'll get it for you one day." Well, the wife choked up and started to cry and said, "Yes, I do remember that shop." Well, he replied, "I'm in the pub next door to it." He told me it. Our next carol speaks of the wise men and the gifts that they offer to our heavenly King. Hymn 326, "As with gladness, men of old." The final lesson this evening will be read by Leslie Asher, elder and session clerk here in the Old Parish.
The final reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning, the world already was. The Word was in God's presence, and what God was, the Word was. He was with God at the beginning, and through him all things came to be. Without him, no created thing came into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never mastered it. There appeared a man named John. He was sent from God and came as a witness to testify to the light, so that through him all might become believers. He was not himself the light. He came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was even then coming into the world. He was in the world, but the world, though it owed its being to him, did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people would not accept him. But to all who did accept him, to those who put their trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Born not of human stock, by the physical desire of a human father, but of God. So the Word became flesh. He made his home among us, and we saw his glory, such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. To his name be all the praise and glory.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm delighted to be here. I'm also delighted to bring with you the greetings of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. As Gary said, we first came across each other. I think I was still in primary school. He was a graduate at the time. That was almost 40 years ago when it happened. And we did meet up at the Highland Show. He was chaplain. I was moderator. My parish is semi-rural, so I saw more of my parish that day than I had seen for quite some time. And of course, it's the minister is with us. So come and get your photograph taken next to the prize bull. I know when the tail starts to move, you get out the way. I wasn't falling for that one. And I also come from a part of the world where lambing starts on Hogmanay and goes through until the first week in June, depending on the pedigree. So I'm semi-rural parish. If you want to know where it is, it's Straven. So if you go from M80 onto M73, just as the M73 joins M74, 4 or 5 miles down the road, look up to the hills on the right-hand side heading south, and Straven, my parish is there. And I've been there for 33 years, which is unusual in modern ministry. And I'm delighted to come as far away as Stirling tonight on what's a lovely summer evening to make a journey. And I'm so glad, Gary, you arranged the weather for me for my visit. Although some things maybe I should have left to myself to sort, being the weather. Anyway, in light of the minister's jokes, I think we will bring things up a notch a little bit tonight. When a woman discovered she was pregnant, her 4-year-old son overheard his parents' conversation. He didn't say anything until a week later, when a family friend asked him if he was excited about the prospect of a new brother or a new sister. "Yes," said the boy, "and I know what they're going to name it. If it's a girl, we're going to call it Emily. And if it's another boy, we're going to call it quits." I know Kintyre really well, and it's easy to outdo Kintyre jokes. We're in the middle of Advent. This is an exciting time of year, and so it should be. The coming of the Christ child is the most exciting news that this world has ever experienced. And it should be celebrated with joy and laughter and a great sense of anticipation. And I think that the Christmas story must be one of the most widely known stories in the world. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. We know the story. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. This is what this season is all about. But there is so much to do. There is so much to organize. So many things to attend. I counted from the 1st of December until Christmas Eve. I am preaching 13 times. And that bit, and I'm loving it, I have to say. I'm not saying that as a moan. That this is the most tremendous honor that can be bestowed on a minister. And it's not just meeting the so-called great and good. It's getting out and meeting folks in congregations like yourself that make this year a particular highlight. But there are so many things to do, so many sermons to preach, so many articles to write. Then you need to think about, oops, I got a Christmas card from my wife yesterday and that reminded me of something. Maybe I better get one tomorrow. Because there's just so many things, pressures coming in us. Our youth worker in my own congregation organised a Christmas craft session for primary age children last year, and it was messy. Glitter, icing, you name it, the whole caretaker had to be calmed down the next morning. That's maybe the best way to say it. But the children had a great time. They were making biscuits, reindeer dust, gift tags, and Christmas cards. And when we were tidying up afterwards, we came across a card left on one of the tables. A Christmas card that had been made during the session, and inside it read, "Dear God, Merry Christmas," and it had the girl's name on it. That girl left a Christmas card for God. And that made me stop and think. An 8-year-old girl wanted to wish God Merry Christmas, and there was me, so busy, sorting Christmas, doing Christmas, that I needed to be reminded what this season is all about. Remember back in the day, when video recorders first came out. Now, those of you at 100 about probably 35, 40 will go, what is that? Ask Mr. Google later what that was. But when video recorders first came out, and if you got one for Christmas, that was a massive gift. And they were massive. They were about that size by that size. But then we got remote controls. You didn't have to go up and press the buttons and hope you're recording the right channel or whatever. And that allowed you to fast forward through the adverts. And now we have got live playback. You can search for just about any program you wish, and it's there at your fingertips. And bear with me for a moment, for I want to mention video playback or virtual playback. It's now commonplace at football games. The video assistant referee probably has more bad words directed at it than the actual referee does nowadays. But it is a match official who reviews the decisions made by the referee in order to provide a way for clear and obvious errors, so it says, and serious missed incidents to be corrected. VAR allows us to see something time and time again from different angles and in slow motion so that we, as well as the officials, can know what really happened. As the world around us has been transforming with all the trappings of Christmas, wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone looked at the replay of what this season is all about? If society stopped for a moment to review the footage, if they stop to review the actual incident that sparked off what it is that we celebrate at this time of year. Every Advent, we have the same opportunity to review the evidence, to look at what happened, to examine the Old Testament prophecies which led up to the famous words in Luke's Gospel, Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. You see, this was the fulfillment of Scripture. Remember when the wise men asked Herod, "Where is he who's born to be the king of the Jews?" Herod summoned the religious leaders, who went back to the ancient scrolls and eventually returned saying that the child would be born in Bethlehem. And this child, Jesus, was and is the Messiah. John the Baptist is often quoted at this time of year as we journey through Advent. But John's job was to get people ready for Christmas. It was to get them ready for what Jesus, the grown man, God's Son, our Savior, means to the world. And in a way, he was getting them ready for the same Jesus who rose again on Easter Sunday. So we too need to review the evidence every year, for every Advent is our VAR opportunity to replay to the world out there the story of Christmas and about God loving us so much that he sent his Son into the world. The Christmas story tonight, it means exactly the same as it meant 2,000 years ago. The message is still the same. The angel said to Mary, and I love these words, "Do not be afraid." The same message was shared with the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." And that's the same message for us tonight. If there's something in our lives that is holding us back, that's keeping us from God, do not be afraid. Is there some secret that you fear you will never be able to overcome? Do not be afraid. Is there some hurt that threatens to overwhelm us with pain? Do not be afraid. Whatever it is in your life that's the cause of fear, you do not have to be afraid. You see, something special has happened. A baby has been born, a Savior, Christ the Lord. There might not have been room for him at the inn, but there is room for you and for me around his manger. A Methodist minister by the name of Monk Brian tells of a time in the early years of his ministry when his children were young. It was Christmas Eve and the family was rushing around the house trying to get ready to leave for the candlelight service. The family piled into the car and headed to the church, and on their way, their son asked his preacher father, "Dad, are you going to let us enjoy Christmas, or are you going to try to explain it to everyone?" Well, I want you all to enjoy Christmas. And I'm sure you will all agree that we can only really enjoy Christmas once we have reviewed all the evidence and know that God did send his Son into our world. And so as we travel through Advent, we can turn to VAR, not the video assistant referee, but we should carry out a virtual Advent review and see what truly happened. Christ, God's Son, our Savior, came into our world. There is nothing from which we should be afraid, for God came into our world to be with us, to be our Savior. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that we can look at a tiny, helpless baby. We can see a doll in a nativity set. We can see a youngster in a nativity play. And yet we are instantly taken back to that night in a stable in Bethlehem when Mary gave birth to Christ, Jesus, and laid him in the manger. For you come into our world through him to be our Saviour. And so we can enter into the Christmas season. We can journey through our life not afraid. For Emmanuel, you are with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Moderator, thank you for your inspiring reflection. And what you have shared with us will remain with us as we continue our journey through Advent and on to Christmas and into the new year. You, moderator, have earned your supper tonight. That reminds me that you are warmly invited to gather in the parish halls for some seasonal refreshments and a further time of fellowship. And the parish halls is the first building on your right as you go down the road from the church. Now, you're able to leave the church via that door there. If you go out that way, just mind the step that's out there, or you can leave this way on my left. If you're going to the hall, you'll be able to see the moderator there, and for that reason, you might want to give him a miss at the door. And just those who are not going to the hall could shake hands with the moderator. But otherwise, you'll see him down at the hall. But thank you all for coming for this memorable service, and thank you once again, moderator and Christine. Thank you. Let's raise the roof with our final carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh, come, ye, O come, ye.
Having reviewed the evidence for Christ coming into our world through scripture reading, through the singing of carols, go now to be prepared to celebrate and to welcome Christ into your life once more. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.